This podcast is intended for mature audiences and is not considered appropriate for enjoyment in the workplace. However, as bad as this podcast is, we will take anyone we can get, including those who are hard of hearing.
Over the centuries, some of the greatest minds have accomplished amazing things in the areas of architecture, literature, science, technology, music, and the arts. We've had cultures to build pyramids over hundreds of years with incredible accuracy and limited resources. We've had intellectual geniuses to create written compositions and mathematical computations that throughout history has guided religious, political, and industrial leaders in developing global programs to aid in the progression of mankind. We the people have put monkeys into space, created vessels that travel faster than the speed of sound, produced medicines to cure everything from broken hearts to floppy, maybe semi-floppy. Never mind, that's somebody else. So moving right along. To microwave pizzas and beer that you can make at home. And what did these years of greatness and prosperity get us? 30 or so minutes of heavy drinking, swearing, and self-abuse. And that's just the listeners. While he may have been produced in Montana, then set free to roam the wilds of Tennessee, your host has a body endorsed by the Centers for Disease Control and a face that even a mosquito would hesitate to sit on. What's not to love? While years of progress, development, and beauty have been reduced to madness and chaos, just take a moment to absorb this audio beating of your soul and dream of the days when things were simpler and more interesting. Yeah, let the good times roll. And here he is, the opposite of progress and beauty, your host, Alan Wooford.
Hey, sinners, welcome back to the shit show. You're listening to Alan Wooford on Diary of a Bald Man. This is the eighth time that we have tried to record or are recording the Looking Back series. And I'll tell you what, the first thing I want to think about when I'm looking back at some of the people that inspired me outside of Sheldon Primus for doing the podcast, for people my age, how many of you remember Art Bell? Raise your left hand. Well, what about Paul Harvey and his stories? Raise your right hand. Huh. Looking back, you know, we think about people that influence us, things that helped us to develop, helped us to grow and to become what we are now. You know, a lot of us lose track of where we're going because we're looking back to see if we've gotten further or progressed in a direction that we think is applicable to who we are and where we think we need to be. You know, and when I look back at a variety of things and influences in my life outside my father, you know, I had some great friends. Gene Hemphill, you know, a former Army veteran, he was a great inspiration, especially during the mid to late 90s. You know, there was a lot of stuff going on. Now I'm looking back at just recent events. And by recent, I'm talking about, you know, things that inspire, motivate. You know, there's different kinds of things that make our brains work and push us to either strive to be better or strive to be different from when we were yesterday. But, you know, one of the things I really admire, outside of my friends just here on Kwajalein, and we'll get to them in just a minute, but I want to look at one of my recent lookbacks, Micah Stockwell. You know, last year we moved into our new subdivision on Berry Ridge. So if you go to Google and you Google Alan the Safety Guy, it'll actually go into our neighborhood. And when you look at our neighborhood, you know, Berry Ridge, we're on Raspberry Drive, and you know, it's just, we've got some amazing and we've got some shithead people around us. But one of the things I liked about Mike is when we moved in the neighborhood, just his outward appearance, you know, he's very hospitable, incredibly smart, great technician. He came over, I mean, we were burning our balls up in the house and didn't know at the time that, you know, he had his own business with HVAC systems. So he came in and squared us away. Love his son. We have a great time, you know, with Riley coming out and just playing around and the dogs getting together and, you know, all the events that occur in and around our neighborhood. But it's neighbors like that, neighbors like the ones that I have here on the island. And that could be Dale Richards, that could be Kathy, that could be Guy, that's Miss Linda. You know, we've also got Tatiana and her mom. We've got Wesley. We've got Q. And when you look back at similar friends, you may notice a pattern. The people that you associate with now are completely different from the ones you may have had in your past. You know, out here, we've got a lot of veterans. We've got a lot of contractor veterans. We've got people that have never been a veteran except in their, you know, particular trade or craft. And that's great too, right? Because when anything rolls, you got to have multiple cogs to turn that wheel. And every cog could be, you know, similar. It could be similarly structured, engineered, however it is. But our environment is what makes us or breaks us, right? If we take a look, whether we're looking in our history, looking at the future, look at the things that motivate you. Look at what's around you now. You know, it may not motivate you like you would think. You know, oh, I got up because so-and-so is looking good. I got up because so-and-so goes to the gym. They feel better. They do better. They've got all this going on. And now I'm looking forward because these people, this environment, this condition is what's helping me to strive today. And again, when I looked at Micah, you know, my neighbor, some of the things that I look at is when he had to repair the AC unit, right? Some of the stuff that he had to do to get under the house, to pull the unit in, to get it up into, you know, the bottom of the floor joist and everything and get that hooked up. And it made me wonder what all he had to do previously to get to that level of proficiency and expertise where he could get in there, check the wiring, get everything up, and have it running in the way that he did. So I looked at my back and said, what got me to where I am today? You know, right now, I'm a safety trainer out here in the Marshall Islands. And I never even thought of going into safety back in the day. I don't believe that anybody intentionally wants to get hurt to do anything that would, you know, impair or impede them. And when I look at some of the stuff I did as a consultant, you know, one of the things I noticed is a lack of training. You know, guys would get out, they would do good stuff, but every time you turn around OSHA or TOSHA or one of the various agencies that come out, it's like, how can I train or do better? Well, I look at Micah. If I know the job, I know what they go through, because I crawled under the house with him a couple of times, basically to see how the fuck he got it done, because to me, that's just amazing. You know, and just the physical strength that he used to get things into place and the mental aptitude and, you know, his keen ability to determine things that were right or not right based off his experiences when he looked back. I look at what's going on around me too, and I try to put that into a narrative that I can then project. So for me to be a great trainer, everything I have that I possess and that I'm able to give is by, you know, reinforcing what I'm presiding over or presenting to the group based off of actual experiences. And I don't have any experience as a crane operator. I do have experience in seeing when cranes failed or picks failed or things like that just went down. Excuse me, sinuses. But having something drop on me, you know, from a crane never occurred. But what I looked at were the conditions. I looked at the environment. I looked at the weather. I looked at the people. And now when I give a class, I could say, hey, you know, back in the day was when I was in construction, we were doing a critical lift. You know, guys forgot to check lanyards. Or most specifically, they checked lanyards, they checked the equipment, but didn't make sure all their tools and other items were off of it. So when the pick occurred, they had a drop, you know, lost an item. It just came sliding off. It could be tools. It could be bars. It could be nuts, fragments. You know, anything can happen in an event like that. And that's our life, too. When we look, we get focused on things, you know, because we're trying to get that path forward. But sometimes we forget to look back and say, hey, what tripped me up? What tripped you up? What prevented you from going that next step? Was it just, you know, shoelaces weren't right? Were you getting mud sucked and your shoes were getting pulled off your feet because of the conditions around you? You forgot to check your path. You know, some of the stuff, you know, as I put out previously, is going to be emotionally based, but it's also the thing that's going to help you move forward. Moving forward requires you looking behind. Same thing when you drive, right? If you're on the highway, you're in the city, you're in the town or something, you check your rearview mirror before going over to the left or going to the right. Looking back is critical to moving forward. You know, and when I look back at the friends and people I associated with in my previous days, one of the things I noticed back then that held me back, because I'm an introvert, I am not, you know, when you're looking at me doing training, I'm not one person that you'd think would get up in front of a large crowd and be able to present anything from fire extinguishers, first aid, fall protection, things like that. Because as an introvert, keep the fuck away from me, you know, when I'm in my personal time. Because I get drained because of putting myself into an environment or a condition that I'm not used to. But again, in looking back, I look at when I took Eric Gislason's class for the CSM Certified Safety Manager. One of the things that I noticed that he taught us to do, part of their presentation was to pick a subject, present it to the group, and get that feedback. That feedback was critical, and you had to get up in front of people to do that. Introvert, extrovert, doesn't matter. Feedback's going to be the same. If you suck, you suck. But what Eric helped me to do was take the even older program that Sheldon Primus taught me with my COS training. And I want you to think about this too. You know, you start out as an apprentice, you become a journeyman. What steps were back there? Who was it that provided? I'm giving a shout out to Sheldon Primus because he's the one that really started me on the safety. You know, I actually did hazardous materials. I did things up in Alaska, but I wasn't looking forward to really getting in safety. I love working on the airfield. I love working around the aircraft. I love the conditions. I had great boss. I had great coworkers. You know, I was just part of that cog to make that wheel turn. But the thing that made me enjoy it, because when I look back at, you know, my life as a contractor previous to then, you know, I was involved in security, law enforcement, executive protection. I was standing around. I was just a fucking observer, you know, and here I was putting hands to tools, hands to equipment, guiding aircraft, standing in front of C-130s, C-17s, F-16s, F-15s. You know, just shit that military guys do all the time. But I didn't see the advantage of doing that, to being out there and being part of that systematic approach to parking people safely, getting the aircraft out of the area, loading aircraft. I mean, John Griffith taught me how to, you know, take a 463L pallet. If you don't know what that is, it's an aluminum pallet that they load in the back of C-130s and other aircrafts. Him and others showed me how to strap them down, use a 10,000-pound lift-capable forklift, and load the backs of C-130s, get shit out of our area, right? So we could start all over again. So in looking back in that, you know, how I had to be careful approaching a aircraft with a forklift with shit I couldn't see around, and being astute and aware of John's hand placement when he was telling me turn left, tilt back, tilt forward, push, let it down, release. Same thing that we're doing today. When we look back at those that influenced, taught us, led the way, like Sheldon Primus, John Griffith, and Eric Gislason did for me, you know, Sheldon showed me the passionate side of safety. This guy started out in water treatment plants in Florida, got up to where he was training and consulting, and then I thought, wow, that is amazing. Then later on, he started getting me into his podcast. I'd listened to podcasts, he interviewed me. Then I got on with, you know, other groups and other shows until I started my own. Looking back, I think of my heroes, the Art Bells, you know, Steve Harvey, the guys that I enjoyed listening to. And that's what I hope to achieve one day. You know, but it took going backwards and seeing how those people did it, how they trained and inspired me to get me to move forward to where I am today. Because you excel when you build your foundation off the dust of your memories. Think about that. It doesn't seem like a lot when you say the dust of your memories, because sometimes our memories are convoluted. We have different ideas of what we think we saw, we did, or we were involved with. And that's one thing I wanted to talk about when we get back. But right now, let's take a moment and listen to Have You Ever Really Lived by Michael Shines. And when we'll get back, we'll talk about moving and looking forward and how to change your mindset and everything into today and tomorrow's world. Thank you. Now hold on. We'll get back in just a moment.
Have you ever walked a high pass, watched the northern lights flash, took a photograph on a Paris street? Have you ever climbed a tall tree, asked someone for mercy, gave something away that wasn't free? I don't wanna get a vision of you stuck in my head, because I know that you were meant to be wilder. Another night of television while you're lying in bed. It's slowly gonna be the death of you.
Search for something intellectual and fulfilling. You've tuned into the Diary of a Bald Man. And there is no going back. Let the moaning, groaning, and bitching begin in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Shit Show again. You're listening to Alan Woofer and Diary of Bald Man. I hope that you enjoyed that song by Michael Shines as much as I did. We've got some really good material that's been presented to us from Artlist, and that is one of them. And I think you'll truly enjoy some of the stuff looking forward to the other shows. But before we get going, I really want to, you know, put my gratitude, thanks, and everything out to the men and women at cleanfeed.net. Our new platform for recording the Diary of a Bald Man. And when we get back into doing interviews, CleanFeed will be the only platform we'll be utilizing for this show. With all the technical glitches and everything that was going in preventing, you know, us from recording this, luckily this is only number 8. And CleanFeed, you and your platform have really bumped us up. You know, it's kind of hard when you try to influence an environment of people, you know, and different groups and different things that have an impact on you. But, you know, it really does matter. Just recently, in the last week, we were looking through some of the stuff related to Diary of Bald Man, and it came up on FeedSpot that of the 15 best baldcasts, the Diary of Bald Man show moved from 11 to number 2 in less than 3 months. And that's a huge thanks to all of our listeners, to all of the people that are out there, you know, on all the platforms, whether it be iTunes, Spotify, I think Google as well. I know some of the platforms have moved away from Amazon, but we're out there, our listeners are sharing, people are mentioning us, and we're just being heard around the world. And if you haven't seen it yet, go to the diaryofabaldman.com webpage, and you can see the Global Podcast Project. And now we're in Kwajalein, people in Japan, people in the Micronesian states, Guam, Saipan, Pohnpei, Tinian, Rota. A lot of the Marshall Islands are now downloading and listening to The Diary of a Bald Man. So thanks again to CleanFeed. Love you guys. Thank you for helping us get back on track. To the musicians and artists on Artlist, thank you guys for allowing me to play your music and your songs and materials on The Diary of a Bald Man. We're very grateful for that because you add to the show. You know, it. And again, you know, everything that is around us affects us. And I hope with the show that, you know, we're affecting people in a positive way by giving a positive influence. You know, I'm not a preacher. I'm not one of these people like, you know, Brown and some of the others that had mass populations following them drinking Kool-Aid and shit. You know, the idea is to reach the people that are supposed to hear it when they're supposed to hear it. So when you look back, look at the people that were there for you when you needed them. Look at the people that weren't there. What was their personality like? How were they, you know, a major factor in how you develop? Because their lack of empathy, their lack of acknowledgement, their lack of being there when you needed them most, that may have changed you to always being the one that's there for others and being present and being empathetic and being giving in your time, love, and attention, right? That's what we're here about. I mean, we're only here for a short time, not for a long time. You know, and everybody says, well, I'm here for a short time. I'm looking for a good time. And that's true. You want your life to be good. You want your life to be exemplary for those that are going behind. You know, the sons, Cameron and Skylar, you know, I want them to have a greater life. Not than I did, because I have a great life. I do. My wife has made, Rhonda has made this a tremendous thing, you know, and from that, I learned that, you know, her mom was an influence, her sister, her brother. You know, there's so much behind us that makes us who we are. Like I said, I never thought of being a safety trainer or a consultant, and look where I am. But in looking back, would I take the same path? I don't know. You know, one thing led to another. One button got sewed in. There had to be a hole to put it, right? When you button something up, there's a hole that lines up perfectly. So once we got grounded and we took the dust of our shadows and we built upon that, you know, there's no looking back on it. You move forward. You know, think about stuff that you consider every day. You know, your family, yourself, your work, your friends, you know, things like that. Because some of that will build you up. Your friends, your family should build you up. You should build you up yourself up first, right? Because when you look at it, who are you going to rely on the most? You will have friends that you can call up and say, hey, I've got this shit going on. I can't seem to find my way out. Please tell me what I'm doing wrong. And a good friend will say, you're a complete fuck up. You know, this is what's going on. You got your head in your ass. And they're the ones that's going to help us the most because they're calling us on that check we wrote. We got to sign that fucker and we've got to cash it in. But when you do it with confidence. If you fuck up, admit you fucked up. So in your mind, you're like, I fucked up. Now I can move forward. I can rebuild. I can tear this down and go through. Excuse me. But really, when you think about stuff, don't tear anything down. We are where we're supposed to be when we are supposed to be there. You know, our souls have some kind of compass that guides us in places. You know, and I don't get into religion because organized religion to me is complete and utter bullshit. I believe in God. I don't believe in someone telling me or you or anybody else, confess to me your sins. God knows what you did. Fucking confess to God and say, hey, I'm a sinner. I did this thing wrong. You know, I do have dreams, ambitions. I have things that I'm passionate about. I'm greedy at times, and be greedy. Be greedy. Take care of yourself, and then you can take care of others. You know, but when I look back at things that, you know, got me to the point where I became greedy, it's like when you look at kids today. I want you to think, if you know this movie, if you don't, Stanley Kubrick that did a movie called A Clockwork Orange. And so they took a criminal and subjected him to all kinds of tests and then, you know, putting images into his mind. And then depending on how he physically or psychologically reacted, you know, they treated him, so to speak. Well, that's the way kids are today. I mean, I shit you not. The other day I was out on Roy Namur and I was just doing my job out there and I was talking to some of the Marshallese. And I asked them, hey, which island are you from? Are you from Ibai? Are you from Majuro? Are you from Third Island? where would you like to go? And half of them said they'd like to go to Hawaii or they'd like to go to Guam. They don't want to go to the States. And I thought, well, that's odd. I was like, there's a lot of Marshallese in the States. And they would ask me, it's like, have you not seen the news? I mean, just recently, all the shootings that occurred during Juneteenth, school shootings, drug cases, all the shit that's going on. They don't want their families, you know, interacting with that. And that made me think about Stanley Kubrick's movie, The Clockwork Orange, because, you know, when you think about what influences us, what gets into our minds, what gets into our kids' heads, what gets us into doing the things we do, 9 times out of 10, and lately I've been doing it too, I've been doing a lot of research on my phone, that constant flood of information. Now, I'm not saying it's bad. Some of these kids today are smarter than I ever thought I'd be back in the day. You know, we didn't have Google back then. We had an Encyclopedia Britannica, the Dewey Decimal System. You fucking wanted to learn something or write a report, you got Cliff Notes. You know, you had to do research. And today, kids get on and they're so easily influenced because it has 1,000 likes and 1,000,000 followers. It must be true. It must be good. And that's what we're basing things off. What's liked, what's disliked, how many followers they have, how many downloads they have. You know, my show, it got bumped up. I don't know. You know, I don't know if it's downloads, if I'm getting the message across, but there's some kind of influence. We know that digital media has influence. We know that digital media can guide people to the left or to the right, north or south. So what's influencing you and what's influencing your family now? Is it finances? Is it trouble at home? You know, is it trouble with a wife? This is the kind of thing that kills me because so many people have that, what even the Marshallese call that Walmart influence. And it's from what they see online. You don't like something, you're tired of your wife, she's put on a little bit of weight, you become a jackass, changes your hair for midlife crisis, bought a faster fucking car, now takes more fuel at an even higher price, or you went and bought an electric car, so now your electric bill is 10 times what it would have been 5 years ago. It's insane. Everybody's want to be like the Joneses because nobody wants to be themselves. So when you look back at influential people, you know, who inspired them? You know, we had the rock and roll generation. We had hippies. I say that to my neighbor all the time. I love Micah, but he's got some long fucking hair. He's a good looking dude. He's highly intelligent. Mike, I'm not gay for you, but I would hug you if I just walked around the corner and saw you for the first time. Just putting that out there, brother. But again, what was the influences? We had the music. We had the news. You know, back when it meant noteworthy events, weather, sports. You know, what is news now? Oh, whatever gets the fastest clicks or the highest number of likes. You know, when I talked about religion and I said, hey, I don't want to be influenced by, you know, something that if you think about, most of your wars were about religion. Look at the Crusades going around whacking everybody because they didn't believe in this or that. Look at the Catholics. You know, the Catholics during World War II helped Nazis escape because they were fighting communism. Or at least that's what they said. If you listen to the other side of the house, they're saying, well, you eradicated a lot of the Jews, you know, and look what's going on now. People are saying, oh, free Palestine, and the Jews are bad. You know, every time you turn around, it's religious-based, and it drives me the fuck nuts. Why can't people just say, be godlike? There's only 10 commandments. What does he tell you to do? Honor your father and mother. Don't be murdering motherfuckers. Don't be coveting your neighbor's personal items and things like that. Don't bear false witness. Just be good. Be a good person. You know, whatever your environment is, it can control so much of what you do. It can control the way you move. You know, same thing with safety. And I do an analysis after an accident. I'm like, how is their physiological or psychological thing impacted by the environment where the accident occurred? You know, did the forklift go over because he couldn't go forward? Did he walk into a wall because he was looking down at his phone? And believe me, it would blow your mind to look at security footage right now where you see people walking through warehouses on the street, shit like that, their heads down in their phone. They trip and fall into the front of vehicles, walk into walls, light posts. I mean, what's in control of your life? Is it you or is it that battery-packed television that you keep toting around your back pocket? What's influencing you? What's influencing your kids? If you don't have the fucking time to sit down with them and be that light, to guide them down the path. I'm not talking about beating their ass. I mean, if you have to tune somebody up, I know I had to be tuned up as a team, but be empathetic, you know, because you're competing with millions of other likes and followers, all right? It's a new religion. It's a digital religion. Whatever's got the likes and events, if they say, hey, test your parents. If you scream, holler, have a fit, and do shit like this to get attention, give them that attention. Tune them up. But segregate them, separate them from those outside influences. Look forward. What, you know, don't look, because I did this, and my wife had to correct me. I'd say, hey, you need to go in the military. You need to do this to learn responsibilities and stuff, right? But that's always not the best way or route for a person to go. Because some people, they want to be artists. Some people want to be mechanics, you know, welders, veterinarian assistants, farmers, things like that. Because that's where their soul is guiding them. That is where their heart is guiding them. You know, and we're just trying to get additional likes and control over them just like everybody else. So when you look forward, here's a great book. If you feel like you're emotionally fucked because your relationship, because you just gave up trying with your wife because you got bored, you know, look at this and think about things that you could read. I'm not trying to influence you. I'm just telling you about a great book called Mind Hacking Happiness. You will see how much of the stuff just from reading that is just blockages from your own mind. Jealousy, feelings of imperfection, feelings of being isolated. You know, and people out here on the island, they get that a lot too. I've seen quite a few new people come back in. They're used to the city lifestyle, which I can't handle. Because again, I told you, an introvert, get the fuck out of my space. Leave me alone. If you're in my class, I'll stand up, I'll teach you, I'll hug you, I'll give you all the tools that you need to succeed. But other than that, get the fuck out of my grill. Unless, and I say unless, because one of the things I recently learned, you know, with my location here in Kwajalein, when I go outside, there's a group of like-minded veterans. We're talking contractors, military veterans, and just veterans of life. And we get together every night. Hey, how was your day? How are you doing? Because we're looking out for one another's mental health, because it is tough out here. You know, again, looking back, you would not come out to this location if you were here to develop a relationship. You will develop a relationship with those around you that are of the same mindset, because they're contractors. They're looking at growing financially for family. But if you're going to do this kind of work, do it while you're young. You just get out of the military, go into contracting, get out of the battlefield, get that shit out of your head. Come out here. Don't stay CONUS, because then you're going to be fighting with 100,000 other motherfuckers just getting out, and you're dealing with all these slack ass, you know, newer generation that wants digital jobs. They want to sit down at a desk and type on a computer and use apps and things. And that helps with life. Don't get me wrong. I look at weather apps. I look at safety apps. There's a lot of beneficial stuff out there. But today's generation, try to get them out there working on a road crew or a construction crew or coming out here to the site, you know, doing, you know, telecommunications or anything dealing with satellite communications where they've got to dig, get in, get dirty, replace parts, do corrosion control. It's not easy. We're in a very austere location. But that same applies to parts of CONUS too, you know, right now with the heat wave. I don't blame those little fuckers for wanting to sit in an air-conditioned office. I mean, it's crazy. But looking forward, again, use your past. Look at the stuff that influenced you growing up. You know, was it playing with other kids that helped develop your interpersonal communication skills? Was it watching certain shows, you know, like Paramedic or Emergency or Adam 12? I know I'm old and I'm bringing up shows you probably never heard of. But then look at things that inspired other people. Star Trek. Yeah, remember flip phones? Now think about Star Trek. Somebody was influenced by Star Trek when they had their communicators and said, wow, what if we made a phone and we could talk to people around the globe? Look at when they had the handheld medical devices, right? Now they got iPads. Every doctor's office, veterinary clinic. Shit, I went to get a distemper shot the other day, and they had an iPad-looking thing, and they were tracking medical stuff. They were making notes and things like that. You have patient portals. You know, things are instantaneous and hopefully secure, because I don't want somebody to know about my hangnail or my deep vein thrombosis or any of that other shit. Yeah, that's for me. That's personal. HIPAA. Remember HIPAA. But, you know, again, looking forward, something you saw, whether it was on Star Trek, whether it was on Animal History, Anthony Bourdain, you know, cooking and doing things like that, Hell's Kitchen. That's going to inspire you to be creative. That's going to inspire you to take it to the next level. That's going to inspire you to do your own show, write a book, you know, be a part of history. But don't worry, when you die, fucking people, everybody will forget about you. Some of them will forget about you as soon as you walk out of the room. Not because you weren't influential, not because you weren't really and critically important at that time, but that's the way life is. We get replaced by other memories. We get replaced by other thoughts and ideas. We get replaced by the number of likes or downloads or, you know, followers that somebody else has got. If you're sensitive to that shit, don't get on TikTok. Don't get on Instagram, because some motherfucker's going to say, hey, you want more likes or followers? And then they're going to set up a series of robots, and it's going to make you, wow, that's good. And then once they get kicked offline, it's like, hey, what happened to all my listeners and likes and thumbs ups and, you know, bobbleheads that were on there? They're gone, because another person with electronic capabilities or, you know, something to deal with the internet shut them down, saying, hey, that's fake. Your numbers are fake. You're fake. It happens. We're in a digital world. Hell, think about that. You know, when you think about some of the shows like Star Trek, where you think about stuff you watched as kids, stuff we're going to see in the future. You know, how much of it is real? Are we in the Matrix? We must be, right? Everything around us is digital. We're digital. We have electronic signals that go to our brain, that keep our heart going, that keep our lungs going, that give us memories, that give us nightmares, that make us laugh. Everything's digital. Everything's electronic. When you die, your physical side goes. But where does that electrical side go? Do you become a ghost? Do you become one of those people that raises the hair on the back of somebody's neck as you walk by? It's a possibility. It is a distinct possibility. It's a reality that somebody is going to figure out, hey, when Alan dies, let's download his brain and donate it to science fiction. I'm looking forward to that shit. Yeah, I'm an organ donor. Take the mental side too. Do what you can with it. Hopefully do some good shows. Please don't AI my face. Don't AI my voice. That's bullshit. That's disrespectful. But see, yeah, it's a reality. AI will take images and voice patterns and things like that. And when you look into the future, people are going to be doing movies. They're going to be doing commercials. They're going to be doing drops, things like that. And it's not a real person. It's somebody's voice that they'll say, hey, it's not copyrighted. They're fucking dead, right? And they're going to put it to a face and you'll be like, wow, that's amazing. That person is inspirational. That person is somebody I want to be or be influenced by. Fuck that. I like AI because when you look at today's kids and stuff, it's the possibility that they can learn quicker. Because you go into an AI platform and say, hey, write me a paper on this. But the downside to that is creativity is lost because, you know, hey, they don't know what words they're trying to put together. The AI does. So you ask, hey, can you give me this? Can you send me that? Write me a poem for a girl that, you know, just really, really, really likes me, but I don't know how to respond to her. I don't have a positive influence on her mindset and get empathy from her. Fuck that. Forget artificial intelligence. You're highly intelligent. You're an amazing person. You could do great things. So looking forward, after you look back to see what's behind you and you know it's safe to go forward, what do you want to be? You want to be a safety guy? Don't do it. Don't fucking do it. You'll be addicted to coffee. You'll be taking aspirin and ibuprofen all fucking day long, you know, for some ghost pains, some mental pains, back pains, shit like that. Fuck that. Become a truck driver. Go across the country. See the world. Take your wife with you. Take your girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever the fuck it is. Take them with you. Experience life. Because are you living yet? Think about that song. Are you living to your potential? When you look back, was there something you said, I wanted to change this. If I would have went left instead of right, I'd be a better person. That's bullshit. Because without those challenges you had to overcome because you went a different way, you didn't follow your mindset, so that sat heavy on your shoulders, don't do that to yourself. Plan for a great life. Prepare for a bad life in case shit happens. Be ready to fix yourself. Communicate. Openly communicate. Tell people what you want. Tell people what you desire, because they may need that too. And you give them the can to open up that communication portal. Plan, prepare, communicate, but engage. Engage with me. Tell me what you want. Tell me what you need. Diary of Baldman 1968 at gmail.com. Go to the website. Please share the show if it's beneficial to you. Let us know if we suck. I say we. It's me that sucks. Thank you again to Clean Feed and everybody that got the show back online. God bless you. Become a member of the global, you know, program that we got on Diary of Bald Man. You want a postcard? Email. I'll send that to you. Then go in and click in. I got a postcard. We'll add you to the flag. We'll add you to the favorites. And before we go, thank you for all the listeners, supporters, fans, everybody involved. You know, because this year, again, we're going to be on the People's Choice Podcast Awards. That's coming up. Look at the Facebook page. Go to the other page. Information on voting will be there. God bless you. I love you. Get the fuck out of here. Enjoy your life. And look forward.
Alan Wolford has produced this podcast for entertainment purposes. Neither this nor any other podcast he produced constitute legal, medical, marital, sexual, or professional advice. The opinions and views presented by Alan are his own and do not reflect the views or opinions of employers, clients, family, Facebook groupies, promotional sponsors, or baby Jesus. Any health information shared or mentioned as an alternative does not create any patient-physician relationship or other professional relationship between the audience and the presenters. No person listening to any podcast from this rocket surgeon should act or refrain from acting based on the content of a podcast without first seeking appropriate professional advice and or counseling. Nor shall the information be used to substitute for professional advice and counseling. As stated earlier, this show is for entertainment purposes, not how to lead or change your life. Do what is best for you or what your spouse approves of. Alan Wolford and all guests of the show expressly disclaim all liability relating to any actions taken or not taken based on any and all contents of this site.